do feel patriotic, Darren.
So do I, mate.
Welcome, everybody. This is St. George's Day, and we are doing our seventh podcast. I'm Nick, and this is
Darren,
and we're doing our podcast, and this is Rule Britannia. And we just thought we would play a bit of Rule Britannia for you to start the evening. It's the 23rd of April today.
It is a
very special day. That's why we started. It's
our seventh show.
Seventh show. More important than that, what is special about today?
It's St. George's Day.
Yeah, we alluded to that last time. We were going to spend the time in this show doing a bit about St. George's Day. In fact, we're going to dedicate the whole show today to St. George and this special day in the United Kingdom, or in England, should I say. Because, of course, Ireland has St. Patrick's Day.
That's right, they've got their own little patron saint there.
And I'm going to test you now. Scotland has...
St. Andrew.
St. Andrew. And Wales has...
Leeks.
Sheep.
St. David.
St. David, yeah, that's it, yeah. And all of those countries celebrate their national day with great aplomb. In fact, it was only a few years ago that in Manchester... In England, we had a very big Irish St. Patrick's Day with fireworks and everything celebrated. And a few weeks later, it was St. George's Day, which is the patron saint of England, and they didn't celebrate it at all. Can you believe that?
Diddly squat.
So we are joining the campaign to promote St. George's Day as a national holiday, and we're looking to try and get that. You can go to several websites now, and we'll talk about those in a bit. We've got all sorts of things. We've got a bow. We've got a beer of the week, haven't
we? That's right. We've got one of your wows.
A wow, website of the week. We've even got a...
A meow. Musical instrument
of the week. So we've got lots to talk about. Welcome. If you've not listened to us before, thank you very much for downloading us. You've probably downloaded us from Podcast Alley.
Or Podomatic.
Or Podomatic.com. If you go to Podomatic, you can obviously register and have us listed as kind of subscribe, can't you? And have us every week.
Yeah. If you're...
You're so enamoured with this podcast.
Please, just subscribe to us. And
so we're going to do the next 25 minutes of chat, general chit-chat, just talking me and Darren, and talking about what we like and about podcasts, and all about the patron saint of England, St. George. So...
You spoke about this campaign.
This campaign, yeah. There is a website of the week. The beer of the week. Beer of the week, or yes. A bow.
It's Bombardier.
Bombardier, or Bombardier, as actually they probably want us to call it. But Bombardier. And the Bombardier website is by Charles Wells. And if you go to www.bombardier, B-O-M-B-A-R-D-I-E-R, .co.uk, that's www.bombardier.co.uk. You can go on there and register your enthusiasm for having the St. George's Day or any day as a national holiday.
It's their online petition, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, and the more people that go on and register, you can even take part in a competition if you register for a key date, because they are looking for a special date. I mean, the 23rd of April is fine, but there are a lot of bank holidays around now, aren't there, in the UK?
There are. I mean, we're sandwiched between Easter Bank Holiday Monday and May Day, which is next weekend.
Which is a silly bank holiday, I think, because a few weeks after that, then you've got...
Spring Bank Holiday.
Bank holidays at this time of the year. You couldn't possibly have one on the 23rd of April. Some good ones. They had some good dates here. There's the list. You can go on there and vote for your day that you think will be good, and they go as recent as 2003 when England won the Rugby World Cup, so there'll be a date commemorating that. And then what else? We'll take it in turns, Darren.
Then we've got a potential date here, which is when England won the World Cup in 1966.
Or you could have the 1903 suffragette movement. Don't think I'd vote for that one. Go on.
I'm not quite sure about this next one either. It's celebrating when Greenwich Mean Time was established.
And they go on and on, and you go Charles Darwin, the Great Exhibition, the Penny Black Stamp. But my favourite, and possibly your favourite,
I think so as well, yes. The
1805 is the Battle of Trafalgar. It was important because what was it, Darren?
It was a naval battle, wasn't it, that took place on the 21st of October in 1805.
Yeah, when, so it's 21st of October, that's the key to this. So it's right at the end of the year when bank holidays are a bit scarce, because you get a big glut of bank holidays now, and towards the end of the year you don't get anything after
August,
and then you've got no bank holidays till Christmas.
That's
so.
Right, end of August, there's that long stretch, quite depressing in the autumn, where you know there's no public holidays at all then.
So I think it would be an excellent day, and this is a great victory, British victory over our friends in France and Spain, and we destroyed them to piecemeal, which I think is a nice way of putting it.
Yes.
For reading this off the notes here, it's a monumental victory for the British fleet under Admiral Horatio Nelson. So that's our vote. You should vote for whatever you want. There's some rather weird and wonderful ones in there. Why on earth would anybody vote for 1066 and the Battle of Hastings, which was the last big invasion from France when they came across and whooped us asunder?
Or even 1086, the Doomsday Book.
Oh dear, yes, no, they're not great dates. I think the Battle of Trafalgar is our vote. So Darren and Nick, join the campaign for... registering, make St George's Day a national holiday. That's right.
Absolutely, that's what we want.
And you can go to the website www.bombardier.co.uk. And also, if you see this beer, you can register. If you register, there is a opportunity to win a keg, I think it is, of beer if you register with this. So.
And very nice beer it is. We enjoy it at our local pub here.
So that's our beer of the week. Our beer of the week is Bombardier, or as Darren and I like to call it, Bombardier.
Absolutely. So then, mate, we're talking an awful lot about St George here,
yep.
But... you know, who was he? What did he actually do?
Well, he's the patron saint of England, don't you know?
So he is.
Yeah, patron saint of England, and St George's Day is at the moment on the 23rd of April. Patron saint of England. His emblem was a red cross on a white background, which of course is the St George's cross, which we use as our national flag in the UK.
That's right, but I mean there are a couple of. Stories surrounding the so-called legend of St George. I've got one here, and I think you've got one lined up as well, mate.
Yeah.
So, if I just
what made him famous then?
Well, as we said, there are several stories that have been attached to St George. Possibly the best known, but I've got to say this is the first time I've heard of this one. Is the tale of the golden legend. In it, a dragon lived in a lake near Salina in Libya, of all places, where whole armies had gone up against this fierce creature and had gone down in painful defeat.
Right.
The monster ate two sheep each day.
Two sheep a day?
Yeah, greedy so-and-so. When mutton was scarce, so lots were drawn in the villages.
Not in Wales, this, by the way.
No. And maidens were substituted for sheep.
Right.
Into this country came St George, hearing the story on a day when a princess was to be eaten. He crossed himself, rode to the battle against the serpent, and killed it with a single blow of his lance. George then held forth with a magnificent sermon and converted the locals. Given a large reward by the king, George distributed it to the poor. Then... he just rode away.
Right, well, I've got a slightly different version here, and this is the point about St George. George and the Dragon, not St George, but George and the Dragon. Because my story, I'll tell you my story, which is, I'll just gloss over it, but the famous legend of St George, of him slaying a dragon, so we've got the same kind of thing there. But this was a Middle Ages dragon, and it was commonly used to represent the devil.
Yes.
Okay, but... basically, he was credited with finding this town which was terrorized by a dragon again, and a young princess was offered to the dragon. And when George heard about this, he rode off to the village to slay the dragon and rescue the princess. But before he got there, he actually bumped into an old man, a hermit, no less. And the hermit told him of the story about how this was going to happen. And this was in Libya. You know, it was yours in Liberia.
Mine
as well?
Was in Liberia
right,
as well.
So this old man or hermit told him all about this and how the king of Egypt had to give up his very own daughter to be sacrificed, and if anybody could save him, then they would be married to the daughter. So when George heard the story, he was determined to try and save the princess. And he rode. He rested. There's a lot of resting in this. What I like about this. So he like rests every night in the hermit's hut. And just rest one night in the hermit's hut.
Yeah.
A lot of resting going on, and he's resting in the hermit's hut overnight. And then he decides, once he's refreshed in the morning, to go out and save this beautiful maiden, the daughter of the king of Egypt.
So he should.
And off he goes to save the princess, and he sees this beautiful girl dressed in pure Arabian silk, and she was Princess Sabra. See, you haven't got any of this in your story.
No, I
haven't. I've got much more detail in mine. And he spurred his horse, and he overtook the ladies and comforted them and told them to return.
I bet he did.
And, and he returned, and as soon as the dragon saw him, it rushed from its cave, roaring with a sound louder than thunder, apparently. And his head was immense, and his tail was 50 foot long.
Exactly
50 foot long.
50 foot.
Anyways, George took up his sword and struck the monster, actually with his spear. But it broke on the scales of the dragon to 1,000 pieces.
Really?
Exactly 1,000.
Crikey.
Yeah, crikey. And he then the dragons rose up, and fortunately George rolled under an orange tree.
Right.
Which was lucky, because did you know that orange trees save you from dragons' poison?
That's handy to know should I ever
come across a dragon.
Yes.
You need an orange tree nearby.
I do.
And he rested. A lot of resting going on in this.
Again.
He rested under the orange tree, and within a few minutes he recovered with enough energy to... and he rose up and he smote the beast, it says here, which I think is fantastic, with his sword. But the dragon poured poison on him again, and his suit split in two. So he ran back to the orange tree and hid under the orange tree again and rested again. Told you there was a lot of resting going on. And then he came out with his sword in his hand, and he rushed at the dragon and pierced it under the wing where he had no scales, and it fell dead at his feet. And what I think we've shown by this is there are lots of different versions of the George story.
Oh, there is. I mean, there are some common threads. The fact that his name was George.
Yeah.
The fact that there was a dragon.
Yeah.
Yours took place in Libya.
And yours took place in Libya.
So did mine. So
you get we haven't rehearsed is we get a lot of stories about, a lot of, in England, George and the Dragon pubs.
Yes, exactly.
You see,
yeah.
George and the Dragon pubs.
You do. It's a fantastic artwork and on the pub signs of this magnificent knight slaying this...
The dragon.
Dragon.
There's a lovely poem by Jake Thackeray all about a chap who's got his car, and he every day in his car he drives past this pub. And never stops. And then one day he breaks down, and it's really cold.
Yes.
And he goes to the pub, and he bangs on the door, and it's late at night, and out of the window leans this old lady. And she says, "What do you want?" He says, "I'm broken down, you know, can I use your phone to phone for..." He says, "You've been coming past here for many years, you've never come in here, now you need us, you know." So he thinks a little while, and he looks up, and he looks at the sign, he says, "I was spoken to the dragon. Any chance of speaking to George now?"
Excellent.
Oh, dear. But the real St. George, who was he? Shall I tell you?
Yeah, I'm hoping you're going to tell me, because we've got so many conflicting stories on here that we need a definitive answer.
There was a chap called George.
Good.
He was a chap who was born in AD 270, and he was a Christian. He was a Christian born in eastern Turkey. And at the age of 17 he joined the Roman army, and he was promoted quite quickly through the Roman army because he was in the army for, you know, several years. If you think about it, he joined when he was 17. He was in the army for kind of 10-15 years, and he served under the pagan emperor called Diocletian, emperor of Rome. And he had many important missions, and one of the missions, he actually came to England. And it was while he was in England that he heard that the emperor, being a pagan, was putting all Christians to death. And he was putting all these Christians to death. So he returned. So George returned to Rome to try and plead with the emperor not to kill all these Christians. And the emperor didn't want to know. He tried to convert
George
into a pagan. But George wasn't having any of it. So unfortunately, Diocletian decided that he was going to get beheaded, and he was beheaded on the 23rd of April 303.
So we actually celebrate his death.
Yeah, 33 years old. So I said he was in the army for a good few years, wasn't he?
He
joined when he was 17 and died when he was 33. So. Anyway, in 1222, the Council of Oxford declared that April 23rd be St. George's Day, and that it would replace the Edward the Confessor. Can you imagine Edward the Confessor Day?
It's a bit of a mouthful, that is, mate.
He became the patron saint of England in the 14th century, 1415. On April 23rd, it was made a national feast day, and in fact, they used to celebrate it much more vicariously. That's the wrong word. I had a much better word before. But they enjoyed celebrating it and in celebrating St. George's Day. And one of the sad things is we don't celebrate St. George's Day really in the UK anymore.
I think we're too scared of
being over English or something.
Yeah, upsetting people.
Which is a shame, because there are schools in the country where they're allowed to have other national costumes from around the world and other days like St. Patrick's Day or whatever, and they're not allowed to have St. George's Day because it's over English.
That's right. The image of someone draped in a cross of St. George, it kind of conjures up images of...
Of course, the cross of St. George is a white sheet with a red cross on it. So.
That's right. It conjures up images of football hooliganism, I suppose. So
yeah.
It's something that we shouldn't really be ashamed of.
And no, and today I've driven around and I have seen a few people with their flags out today. I've seen two flags out, but out of thousands of houses that I've seen, I've only seen two. And if we were in America and it was, what's the day? 7th of July?
May the 4th.
Is it? What's the 7th of July then? Nothing. Just making that up. July the 7th.
May the 4th.
What's the independence?
July the 4th.
July the 4th, there
May
you go.
May the 4th. I'm thinking of... National Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. But yeah, July the 4th, American Independence Day.
And they really go to town on it. They have lots of flags and everyone's very happy to be... And even people who are repatriated in that country will celebrate, being American. And I think we should celebrate being English.
I mean, don't they... In their schools, they have the raising of the flag every day and the national anthem.
That's right.
And all that business.
That's right.
But, we don't do anything
like
that.
So we started the show with an alternative national anthem, Rule Britannia. But I do think we should celebrate it. I'm not being over patriotic here or anti or racist in any way. I think we should just make the most of being English, because we should be proud to. And sometimes I get fed up of being afraid to be English, which is a shame. It's a shame.
Just to say, there are quite a few events going on. There are marches and parades going on, around the Midlands. And,
right.
Today,
so...
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So we're just doing our bit here, celebrating with the stories of St. George. You've had a couple of stories of St. George. You now know the true story of St. George, how he became a saint. What else do we... We're going to go off a bit of St. George now, and we're going to go and do something else, because we have... Every week we have... If you've only just joined us, or you're just first time listening to us, we have a theme running through our show. We have programs of the week, and we have websites of the week,
yes,
which is a wow, and we have all sorts of shows, and we have all of these shows, and we have all of these different things, and we have beer of the week,
which
is a bow.
That's
and
right.
Now we've got a meow.
Well, yeah, musical instrument of the week. So
what have I got here?
What have you got indeed, mate?
Well, my musical instrument of the week is... the previous ones have been didgeridoo.
You've taken us to South America.
I went to Australia with the didgeridoo.
Went to South America with
your pan. Sword with condors, that's right, yes.
Yeah.
If you listen to the previous show, you'll hear... Or the previous show but one, you'll hear me playing very badly the panpipes. And now I have another ethnic minority or ethnic instrument here in front of me.
What is it, mate?
Well, it's shaped in the shape of a vase, right, and kind of upturned vase, if you like. And it's made of wood. Can be made out of all sorts of wood. They sometimes handcraft them from native woods, hardwoods or softwoods. And it is a drum.
Okay,
and it's a djembe drum, spelled D-J-E-M-B-E.
Djembe
drum.
What's it covered in, mate? What's this?
The top of it is meant to be goat skin, so it doesn't smell like anything. So and you place the drum between your knees. I'm going to give it a little drum beat now. I'm not very good at it, I'm just learning. So here we go with the djembe drum.
Well done, mate. A round of applause there from everyone for...
That's a djembe drum, and we'll put a picture of it on the website. So you can. They're a great little thing. I bought it from a tourist shop, actually. It's imported from Africa, deepest Africa, and it's great. I love. It's called the healing drum, and you can just sit there and play it and relax and just tap away at it.
It soothes your worries away.
That's right. So now I've got. I'm getting really into my non musical instruments. I've got a didgeridoo, a drum, and the panpipes are quite musical.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say it does look very good next to your didgeridoo there.
Cool.
Leaning against the wall. So excellent. Well done.
So that's that was the meow. The musical instrument of the week. So
right. Well. Next up, just drifting back a little bit more to
St. George's Day.
Yeah, St. George's Day and our patriotic feelings. Nick's going to tell us a little bit about the story of the United Kingdom and in particular the Union Flag and why we should call it that and not
Union Jack.
Yeah.
Well, the Union Jack, as everybody knows, is a multicoloured flag, and you see it on many different countries' flags as well. I mean, New Zealand have it a little in their corner, don't they?
That's right, and Australia too.
Australia too, and all the Commonwealth, because we've talked about the Commonwealth in other programmes.
We did, a couple of shows back. So, yeah, a lot of the Commonwealth country flags have got...
Carry this little blue flag with a red cross on it and a white bit as well. Mm-hmm. And it's made up of several different flags, actually, and made up of three flags, and the three flags of the sovereign countries, or the home countries, as they've been calling them in the Commonwealth Games.
Yes.
And that was England, Wales, Scotland and Ireland, although since 1921 it's just Northern Ireland.
Yes.
And so these make up the flag. You've got the blue background is a Scottish flag.
Yes.
And they have a blue background with a white cross on it.
The cross of it'd be the St. Andrew, won't it?
St. Andrew's cross, yeah. St. Andrew's. Yeah. I won't go through all the others, but basically your Union flag should be called the Union flag and not the Union Jack. The Union Jack probably came as a name from when it was part of the Royal Navy. It used to fly from something called a jack staff, and so they used to, in the Royal Navy, they called it a Union Jack.
So it can only be called that when it's flying from this particular...
From a boat or from the back of a boat.
Oh, right, but if it's on a building or just a flagpole...
It should be called the Union flag. Yeah, absolutely. So so there you go, little bit of story about the Union flag. And that moves me on nicely, because I've got all of my information today from one particular website, and I'm absolutely, because we're going to do the website of the week.
Absolutely.
The website of the week this week was going to be the one where I got all this information from. You can go to this website. Unbelievably, it's a junior school.
Excellent, good for them.
A junior school has got one of the best websites I've seen on St. George's Day for a long time, and lots of other information on their website. And I give them a bit of a shout out to the Woodlands Junior School in Kent. And so their website is www.woodlands-junior.kent.ch. Darren, you tell me what the website of the week
is. Okay, everyone, it's www.woodlands-junior.kent.sch.uk. Go to that website. And,
I mean, if you actually put into Google Woodlands Junior School, you'll come up with their website, and it is really good. It's an excellent website, and they've really gone to town about the Union flag and all about St. George's Day. And there's loads of links there to jump across through their website.
Lots of pictures of him, although, I mean, they're not obviously going to be photographs. They're going to be like paintings of him. But yeah, some of those look really good. What is England famous for? All sorts of subjects that they cover.
That's right.
That looks really good, mate. That's
it's a good website. That's the website of the week. So you want to go to the website of the week, and that is Woodlands Junior School. You type in Woodlands Junior School in Google, or if you put in www.woodlands-junior.kent.sch.uk, and you'll get to their website. So a really good website. Well done, Woodlands Junior School.
Well, I think it's that time again, mate.
Oh no, what's happening now, Darren?
I've got another one of my farts brewing.
Farts for all of those people out here. Don't worry, don't turn off your MP3 player now. This is Facts Are Really
Terrific.
Yeah, Darren's Facts Are Really Terrific, and we have a little bit of a drum roll here.
Did you know that St. George is also the patron saint of Aragon, Catalonia, Georgia, Lithuania, Palestine, and Portugal, amongst others?
Fantastic.
But hold on, there's more.
There's more.
Yeah, St. George is also the patron saint of soldiers, archers, cavalry, chivalry, farmers, field workers, riders and saddlers, and he also helps those suffering from leprosy, plague and syphilis.
Really?
Yes.
Fantastic. That's really good. So that is your that's your fart of the week.
Yes, facts are really terrific.
So that's excellent, actually. So he's the patron saint of, what do you say at the end there? Riders, saddlers, and those helping need help from leprosy, plague, or syphilis.
Yes.
And the patron saint of England.
Yes, we know how to choose them, don't we?
Well, that is really good. I tell you what, Darren, I don't think there's anything else we can follow that with, so we should wrap the show up now.
I think that's probably a good point to close things on.
So we're going to wrap the show up now, and thanks very much for listening, and we will see you next week. Come in and join in, and register us on your podcast Podomatic.
Podomatic.
Yeah.
Cheers,
thanks
mate.
Very much. See you now.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.